Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, have big changes on the website that I want to make you aware of. If you go to brainstormingonline.com, on the right-hand side, you will see that I've added a new daily quiz feature there. You can go online and you can answer today's survey. For example, today it's a real simple survey just to get everything going and get it rolling. And the question is this: are you spending more or less or the same as you did last Christmas, last holiday season for your holidays? Go to the website brainstormingonline.com, place your answer, and then I will give the answer the following day to the previous day's quiz. So today, if you go to brainstormingonline.com, the question of the day is, are you spending more, less, or the same as you did last holiday season? Answer that question for us, and I'll give the results tomorrow. As I said, every show has a theme, and today's theme is substance and illusion. Each of my guests will discuss his topic, and you'll decide if there's substance or it's an illusion. My first guest overcame a difficult childhood as an orphan to skyrocket up the ladder in corporate banking at a large international money center bank. Along the way, he exposes money laundering and fraud, which we'll discuss from his latest book, World Banking, World Fraud. My second guest is a highly successful internet marketer, trainer, an author, and an international motivational speaker. We'll discuss his unique methodology and techniques that have generated over $233 million in sales and profits for his clients. My third guest is a Hollywood stuntman and a stunt coordinator who uses the mystery of movie stunts and special effects to teach science to children. We'll discuss his methodology contained in his book, The Secret Science Behind Movie Stunts and Special Effects. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. John Cruise worked his way up the corporate banking ladder from a small credit union, where he says he should have stayed, to HSBC, only to learn that sometimes telling the truth and upholding the law can ruin your life. When John discovered money laundering, bank fraud, and identity theft at HSBC, his American dream was over. World Banking, World Fraud is an insider story that exposes how international banking launders money and covers its tracks. World Banking, World Fraud exposes the truth about banks like this that destroy their employees who get too close to the truth and then protect themselves from the U.S. government. Joining us from a secret location somewhere in the country. Hi, John. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, thank you for being our guest, and thank you for being courageous to stand up to HSBC and expose what you found as wrongdoing there. But let's start with the obvious question. I mean, right now, the banking industry has really become the whipping boy of an angry public following the financial meltdown in 2008. Now, your book gives readers one more reason to distrust and to dislike banks. So tell us your story, beginning from when you took over HSBC's branches in Nassau County, New York, from the previous manager who disappeared abruptly after meeting with bank security officials.
Well, I started out there in January 2008. I started working at HSBC. They wanted me to bring in a lot of clients from the credit union, but then after a few months being there, I started noticing a lot of accounts that didn't exist. Actually, the owners of the accounts didn't exist. The social security numbers were fraudulent. the accounts were opened in Delaware, but they were closed in 1 year, and then the next year they were opened at the HSBC in New York, but they never existed. There was hundreds of accounts, and I would question it and question it, and I report everything to senior security. I reported to managers, and everybody's like, well, just shut up and forget about it. Don't worry about it. It's being taken care of. But nothing would ever be taken care of, and money in hundreds and thousands of millions of dollars that go through these accounts. It was just astonishing to see the amount of money come through. But my job as a vice president was to look over these accounts and find out where the money was coming from, work with the customers, and help them manage their account. Well, you can't manage an account when it doesn't exist. But then if you dug deeper, and I did dig deeper, just because my job was to manage your account, I would find out these accounts were linked to hundreds and thousands of individual accounts that they never knew about. They were using their identities to launder money and create fraudulent accounts that they would never see. It's like a trickle-down effect. If you just break up the dollars in so many times that nobody's going to look at it.
Aren't there laws, John, though, about how much money one can push through an account before it raises a red flag with either the IRS or Homeland Security?
There are many laws. You are supposed to fill out reports whenever you see suspicious activity, whenever it is a certain amount of dollar amount. But the bank never did it.
All right.
I even spoke to senior auditors in the bank. Why were these reports never done? And they said the bank doesn't do them. When we get caught, we got money on the side. We'll just pay off the investigators.
Wait a minute. They actually told you that they would pay off bank investigators if they were ever audited? You actually had that conversation?
Yes. I have many conversations that I recorded with people. I mean, I had a really good meeting with a senior executive of security with the bank, and he told me point blank, when I found $855 million going through just one of these hundreds of accounts, that I need to just shut up and forget about it, I said, I need to take this higher. I need to go to the senior executive. He told me, John, you need to shut up. Forget about it. The senior executives are the ones who control these accounts. They know about it. They're the ones who sign off on them. It's their money.
My guest is John Cruz, author of the book World Banking, World Fraud, Using Your Identity. Well, wait a minute, John. So there are people at every level of the bank that understand that this manipulation, what you call multiple layering of accounts in the book, this manipulation is happening, and it goes from your level at the street level, the branch manager level, all the way up to senior management. How can that happen without somebody besides yourself spilling the beans earlier?
It happens with a bank such as HSBC when they create a culture of crime. When someone finds it, you're supposed to report it to your managers. The managers take it from that point on and tell you it's taken care of. Forget about it. That's their job to handle it, not yours. But as far as willful blindness, I mean, you're just as guilty as anyone else if you're not doing something about it. You need to stop it. But it never was stopped.
But it never did stop. My goodness. All right, John, well, let's take us through and talk about the magnitude of the amount of dollars that were being laundered through HSBC. And it should be noted, HSBC is a money center bank. It is actually headquartered in Great Britain with branches here in the United States. But let's take a look at some specific customer accounts that were suspicious. And in particular, I want you to talk about the Goldfarb account. Take us through how the money laundering went through the Goldfarb account.
Money only went through the account. It would come in as a one-sided transaction through PayPal as they would transfer in every day, a $20,000, $40,000, $60,000, $80,000, $100,000. Every day those transactions would come in the middle of the night with your electronic transfers. The next morning, that money would be wired out of the bank to another country, to another entity, but you couldn't see it because it would just say, transfer out. And that's it. You could never see anything because the bank would hide you, keep you from looking at that part of the transaction.
All right. Now, how is that different than what banks call overnight funds, which is money that they take and literally invest overnight and move it to other branches, trying to get the maximum amount of interest from some other part of the country or some other part of the world? Couldn't this just have been part of overnight lending, overnight accounts?
No.
Why not?
Because when you're talking about overnight lending, that's overnight lending on a bank stand, but that's money that the bank has in excess. Banks invest money in different countries from their own funds. We're talking about individual accounts. That money goes into that account. It stays in the account. The part that you're talking about is the bank's account of money. But a bank has their money, they transfer, and it's part of your money, but it doesn't work with your account.
Got it. All right, so I see the difference there. Now, you mentioned sums of money moving through there, 20, 30, 40,000. All the amounts were less than 100,000, so it wouldn't necessarily create a big red flag. But isn't Homeland Security targeting amounts of money over $10,000 that are moving in and out of accounts for fear of laundering drug money?
Yes, the bank is Homeland Security is supposed to be targeting. But if they're not notified of it, then there is no notifying Homeland Security. And if the bank sits there and they say, well, these large amounts of money are coming in, and they control the computer system that when an auditor comes in from Homeland Security, from OSHA or anywhere, they can change those numbers to look like it came from anywhere. How are you as a regulator going to pick that up when the bank controls that computer system?
Well, now, that's an interesting point, too, that I was going to ask you about. My guest is John Cruz. John, with the software that was written to do this, there are certainly outside programmers that are brought in to do that kind of programming. Why wouldn't one of these outside programmers have noticed the hole, the giant loophole that you're talking about, and have reported that or at least raised the flag with somebody besides bank officials?
Maybe they did. I don't know. I could never find anyone that did or did not. Maybe they were part of the whole scheme that's going on. I don't know. I mean, you have this bank, you have headquarters in other countries. Now, Homeland Security comes in and say, we want to see these records. Well, they're in Great Britain. Homeland Security goes to Great Britain and says, we want to see these records. The HSBC in Great Britain says, I'm sorry, but this is not your country. Your laws don't apply here.
Ah, very cogent response. All right, my guest is John Cruz, author of the book, World Banking, World Fraud, Using Your Identity. So, John, tell us, what's happened to you once you reported that the money laundering was happening, when you reported it to your supervisors? What's happened since then?
Since then, well, I'm no longer with the bank. They terminated my employment.
All right. But that wasn't just the end of it, was it?
Oh, no, no. Since then, I decided that I was getting many threats, and I would get calls on my phone saying that if I was to talk about anything, I would have a bullet in my head. I got calls stating my family was going to die if I opened my mouth. And I sat with my attorney. I said, you know, I feel like I'm being followed. I reported license plates to certain police departments, and they just, like, we don't know who that is. It doesn't exist. So I sat with my attorney, and we had a long conversation. I told him, no, I think I'm just going to write a book about everything. And I'm going to take all the documentation and all the voice recordings and everything and duplicate everything and put them in multiple spots. So if something did happen to me, it would be totally released.
Wow. Now, did you take it seriously when you were having these death threats? What sort of steps did you take to protect yourself and your family?
Well, as soon as I got the death threats, I went to the district attorney. I met with two senior district attorneys in Suffolk County. And they sat with me, they looked at documentation and all, and the first thing they got, one says to the other was, the one district attorney looks at me and he goes, does the bank know you're here? I said, no. He goes, thank God. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you would be a dead man if they found out you were coming here.
Wow. And this is from a district attorney.
He goes, this is money laundering. This is terrorists. This is drug money. You have no idea what you're dealing with right here.
All right. So what did the district attorney do once they discovered that you had all of this valuable information?
They said they were going to talk to another entity in law enforcement that was also working on money laundering. And at that point, they said they couldn't do nothing because once it was being worked on by one law enforcement agency, another law enforcement agency could not get involved. Too many hands in the pot, according to what it says on my tape.
All right. Did this get elevated to the federal level? Did it go from Nassau County in New York to, say, the feds, and the feds are now investigating this?
Yes, they are.
All right. So now the federal...
I'm in the process of filing a complaint with the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, which should be done within the next couple of weeks. My attorney's in Washington, D.C.
Wow. And where are you finding all the money to file a complaint with the SEC to protect yourself? You said you went to your attorney first. From where is this money coming from? Are you getting any sort of compensation for being a whistleblower, compensation from the government or some other organization?
I am getting nothing at this time.
Nothing at this time. So this is all out of your pocket that you're pursuing this.
Yes,
and what's the end game going to be, John? What do you want to happen?
My end game is to reveal all that's happening with HSBC Bank. This bank does not belong in business in America or in any country. I mean, if this bank is sitting here and they're laundering money for drugs and everything, I mean, they're helping putting the drugs on the street for our kids and destroying people's lives. I mean, you see kids and adults dying everywhere because they're overdosing on drugs and everything, but the bank is helping them funnel this money. And they funnel this money using the public identity. Just a regular Joe Schmo goes and gets a credit card and winds up with HSBC. They have your identity. What gives them the right to do whatever they want with your identity? There is no right.
Indeed. My guest is John Cruz, author of the book World Banking, World Fraud, Using Your Identity. Now, you've written the book. How come they haven't come after you because you've written the book? It's been out now for a couple of months.
Well, what are they going to do? They're going to say it's not true? Well, then prove it's not true. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to reveal tape recordings. And I'm not going to sit there and give it to someone and say, here's the tape recordings. I'm going to put them live on the air. I'm going to reveal everything right on the air. So my book talks a lot about what's going on. It doesn't have real names in it because some people are innocent, and you can't accuse people that are innocent. So you leave them alone. So you make sure the book does not have real names in it. But the people who are not innocent will be revealed.
Wow. Well, John, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, World Banking, World Fraud?
When reading my book, they will know how to more protect themselves as far as their identity, to know what's going on in the world, know what happens in international banking. You know, banking should not exist. I mean, you have a bank here in the U.S. and you have a bank in Switzerland, you know, they should be separate banks. This way those transactions can be revealed to any law enforcement going into the bank because the bank would know exactly where it's coming from. If a transaction is coming from another country to America, you need to see exactly where that transaction is coming from. I mean, our laws should be to the world. If the world wants to work with America, you know, then abide to our laws.
Wow. All right. Well, that's a very ambitious goal. Now, John, if people are intrigued by what you have to say and they want to learn more about your particular case, maybe HBSC, or you learn about your book, World Banking, World Fraud, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would direct them to go to my website, www.worldbankingworldfraud.com.
That's worldbankingworldfraud.com. John, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.